Flint ended all of a sudden, and I was in the country. It was like one of those days that it's raining on one side of the street and not on the other. Here you have Flint and a sidewalk. You take one baby step, and here you have country and a dirt path. On the sidewalk side, a sign said, "You are now leaving Flint. Hurry back." And on the dirt path side, "You are now entering Flint. Enjoy your stay." I jumped in and out of Flint around 7 times before that got boring, and I decided I'd better head for Grand Rapids. It was already very, very dark, and unless things were different in the country, it wasn't going to be getting light anytime soon. 120 miles. It didn't take too much time before I figured out that 24 hours worth of walking was a lot longer than I thought it would be. I must have only been walking for a couple of minutes when everything changed. First off, there were the sounds. Flint could be pretty noisy, what with cars honking horns and trucks with no mufflers on them shifting gears and people yelling out at each other so you couldn't tell if they were happy or about to bust out fighting. Out here in the country, the sounds were loud too, but what I was hearing was the sounds of bugs and toady frogs and mice and rats playing a dangerous, scary kind of hide-and-go-seek, where they rustle around and try to keep away from each other or try to find each other. Instead of being tagged and called it like the way human beings play the game, out here, the ones that got ate up. Every step I took toward Grand Rapids, I could hear the sounds of mouse bones and bug skeletons being busted up by the teeth of bigger things. Every once in a while, a couple of cats would give out the kind of howls and yowls that would make the hair on your neck jump up if you were a human being, and your heart turn into a little cup of shaky yellow custard if you were a mouse. I walked and walked and walked. Some of the time a car would come by, and I'd have to duck into the bushes and wait till it had passed, so I don't think I was doing any 5 miles an hour. I felt like I'd been walking all night, but I'd only gone through 3 little towns. I was getting so tired that I started to forget to duck in the bushes when a car would roar by. Some of the time they'd see me and step on their brakes for a second, then speed off. Most times they never noticed me. Another car bounced over the top of a hill. The lights blinded me for a second, and then I ducked into the bushes again. The guy in the car stepped on the brakes to slow down, and I could see him twist his neck around. He stuck the car in reverse and pulled to a stop about 30 giant steps away from where I was hiding. His door opened, and he stepped out and started walking slow toward my bushes. He brushed his hand over his head and put on a black hat like the kind the police or some army men wear. But all the cops I'd ever seen were white, so I knew this guy must be a soldier. He stopped and put his fingers to his lips and whistled. The whistle was so loud that it made me duck down and put my hands over my ears. It felt like he'd blown it right inside my head. All the bugs and toady frogs shut right up. They quit chasing and biting each other, 'cause this had to be the loudest whistle they'd ever heard, too. Rocks were crunching as the man in the black hat walked a couple of steps up the road, then stopped again. For the second time, he blasted my ears with that whistle. The noise-making critters in that patch of road got quiet. He said, "Say hey!" He waited and yelled, "Say hey! I know my eyes aren't what they used to be, but I know they aren't so bad that they'd lie to me about seeing a young brown-skinned boy walking along the road just outside of Owosso, Michigan, at 2:30 in the morning." I couldn't tell if he was talking to me or himself. I peeked up to see if I could get a better look at this man. He came closer to me, then stopped about 10 giant steps away. "And I'ma tell you, I've seen some things out of place before, and a young brown-skinned boy walking along the road just outside of Owosso, Michigan, at 2:30 in the morning is definitely not where he ought to be. In fact, what is definite is that neither one of us should be out here this time of night." He squatted down and said, "Are you still there?" I raised my head a little higher to get a better look at him in his big car. He left the door open, and I could hear the engine of the car grumbling. It was saying, "Wugga, wugga, 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 wugga." "Son," he said, "this is no time to play. I don't know, and I don't care why you're out here, but let me tell you, I know you're a long way from home. Are you from Flint? How could he tell I was from Flint just by seeing my face for a second in his headlights? I wonder how grown folks know so doggone much just by looking at you. Something was telling me to answer him, but I still wanted to get a better look. He stood up. You know what? I bet if I can't get you to come out with talk, I got something else that might make you show your face. From the quick look I got at you, you seemed a little on the puny side. I'll bet anything you're hungry. Just so happens that I got a spare bologna and mustard sandwich and an apple in the car. You interested?